I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Anyone who has driven over or around the Sagamore Bridge in recent weeks has probably found themselves spending time sitting in traffic. While the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was able to wrap up the scheduled bridge work early, the bridges are over 80 years old and will require maintenance at greater frequency in the coming years. It's not simply the inconvenience of sitting in traffic. Delays at the bridges have impacts on emergency access and safety, as well as impacts to economies of Cape Cod towns and residents. Joining us to discuss challenges and possible solutions to Cape Cod Canal area traffic is Steve Tupper. He's the Transportation Program Manager at the Cape Cod Commission. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Wendy Northcross, CEO of the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
And joining us on the phone is U.S. Representative Bill Keating. Good morning.
Good morning.
Congressman, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is a federal agency responsible for the Cape Cod Canal, including the recreational areas and the three bridges. Their mandate from Congress is to maintain four lanes on the Sagamore and Bourne toll-free. So what would it take to change that mandate, either to increase the capacity of the bridges, build new bridges, or charge tolls?
Well, I think that, first of all, I'd like to give them credit for finishing the work on the Sagamore Bridge more quickly. We've been in constant contact, as have business groups. You know, Wendy's group in the Cape, the Chamber, we work with well to try and get the information forward to people. So they did a good job. One thing, interesting enough, I'm trying to do in terms of the fall schedule, which is scheduled for the Bourne Bridge, is to try and see. I made a formal request with the Army Corps, if it's safe, to try and postpone that to the spring so that the interruption does not affect our Cape Cod business community at both sides of the shoulder season in the spring and the fall. So that's under active consideration, so it's worth noting now in the short run. Long run, I'm not a fan of toll bridges or privatized bridges. I had someone in my office just 2 weeks ago that came to D.C. from Virginia, just a few miles away, and I was astonished that they told me on the way up, in one of these private toll-type roads, that they paid $66 one way.
Wow.
In tolls. So I'm apprehensive. I think that for the people that use the bridge and the people that depend on government for basic needs, that should I'm not in favor of the toll alternative at all.
Okay. So given the infrastructure needs across the country is the funding for that, how big of a priority is funding the Cape Cod Canal Bridge rehabilitation or replacement in Congress?
Well, first of all, I have 60% of my bridges in my district right now that are failing, according to civil engineering standards. So we have a huge problem in our country, and certainly here in the Cape, we have two points of access by land, and so it's critical. And they're both old. They're both, I think, in short period of time, are going to face a structural issue in terms of how long steel itself, you know, can be safe. The actual steel itself. They've done a job of reconstruction and a job of maintenance that's become more and more extraordinary over the years. And in 5 years, it'll face another major, I mean, major maintenance hurdle. That's what they're telling me. So we have to look at this, and that's why working with Wendy, working with the county, working with municipalities and our state delegation, we're going to keep our eye on this issue and not just, you know, have it drop out of our attention just because the repairs are now, you know, finished in one area. And that means looking long term, and that's what you're talking about in terms of what are we going to do down the road. I think there's discussions on shifting the jurisdiction of the bridges, maybe from portions of it from the Army Corps to the state. Those things could help get funding, both federal and state, at a higher level, quicker in terms of prioritization. These are things we're going to continue forward. But I must say this, the discussions that have been ongoing, even though they're out of the public eye, even though there's nothing closed about them, but, you know, our attention span refocuses to other issues when we don't have these delays. They've been ongoing, and they're going to continue to be ongoing.
Yeah. Now, if we were able to shift some of that to the state possibly taking control of the bridge project, that would also need to be approved by Congress, right?
There would have to be approvals, but these are things that if everyone's in concert and you know with that idea, that could be done. You know, the Army Corps' major role is keeping navigation free, and the fact that it's over a waterway is their basic concern.
Yeah.
So this is we keep them busy in the entire district. I think our district probably, because of the coastal nature, the dredging, the other responsibilities they have, keeps them as busy as any district in the country. But I must say that looking forward to our nation's problem, and here's the real issue at 30,000 feet, we have a huge infrastructure problem that includes bridges in our country. The $200 billion that the Trump administration has given, which is leveraged private money largely, is not even being considered seriously as an alternative to this. And again, the tax bill we're monitoring closely in terms of meeting its promise of jobs and economic advancement, that took all the oxygen out of the room for infrastructure. When you put $1.5 trillion into that tax plan, that was money that many people, in a bipartisan sense, that we were going to put that towards an infrastructure development plan, and now that money is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was never there, so yeah. I shouldn't say it's gone. We're deeper in debt.
Yeah. We know emergency access is compromised when we have significant traffic backups. And if we have an evacuation for a natural disaster or Pilgrim nuclear power plant emergency, the bridges present a bottleneck. So do these kinds of safety issues factor into these decisions about mandates and funding on the congressional level?
Yes, they all factor, as well as the state of the bridges. When more of the studies are released, we're going to find out that our alternatives of maintenance, minor reconstruction, are just not going to meet the needs structurally of what the bridges will need to be safe in the future. So I think that we're going to look at all fronts, the discussions of maybe shifting some responsibilities where priorities can be, it's not competing against massive plans in Los Angeles or other places in the country, and would still be able to get federal funds through the state. Those kind of things are important to be discussing now.
Mm-hmm. Steve and Wendy, have a question before we let the congressman go? No? Okay. Congressman Keating, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. I know you're after other things. Yeah.
I want to thank you, Mindy, but I also want to thank Wendy and Steve. They have really had their eyes on this, and it's been fixed on it. I know a lot of the input I had in terms of trying to postpone the fall bridge work into the spring came from businesses through mm-hmm. Wendy's organization. So right. We'll see how that happens in the short run, and I appreciate you casting more attention on this in the long run.
All right, Congressman Bill Keating, thanks for joining us. All right, Steve, we have this interesting situation. I would say the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer oversees the bridges, and the state Mass Department of Transportation oversees the highways leading to the bridges. Cape Cod Commission also plays a part. So explain the role of the commission in traffic study, planning, and oversight.
So certainly. So the Cape Cod Commission, tracking right back to the Cape Cod Commission Act, is charged with protecting the natural resources, historic cultural resources, and folks may be more familiar with on the regulatory side, looking at large-scale projects. But we're also charged with looking at adequate infrastructure for the region. And broadly, that includes things like wastewater. We've seen us out in front on the 208 planning efforts. But certainly, roadway infrastructure and bridges in particular are important to the economy of the region. So we are involved on all aspects of infrastructure, but particularly on transportation. We are staffed to what's known as the Cape Cod Metropolitan Planning Organization. That's a regional decision-making body, including representatives from a number of the Board of Selectmen, the Barnstable Town Council, and that's mechanically where these sort of projects would be funded through. Anything that includes federal dollars, such as Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration, has to flow through that regional body. So through that mechanism, we get to see these projects and get to make sure that the projects come through match the priorities of the region.
Hmm. Wendy, I was thinking back, the very first program we did on the Point 17 years ago was about traffic. And here we are again talking about some of the same concerns. And I could see your face light up a little bit when you heard maybe we can postpone that Bourne project until the spring. Because the traffic is really increasing all the time. We sort of expect backups in the summer, you know, the mm-hmm. Saturday changeover mm-hmm. and then the Sunday leaving, you know, you're not mm-hmm. probably going to want to go over the bridges at that time. So what's the data showing us as far as the backups increasing? It's getting into not just the summer season. It's much more beyond that.
Well, you know, that's data is Steve's purview, and I'm not going to step into the data bucket here, but I will tell you that something has changed because this April, you know, well, we had 2 weeks' notice, technically, for people to get it in their head that the traffic patterns were going to change. And that was too short of a window, really. But this April, we still had winter weather. It was the first week in April. We had three-hour tie-ups the first couple of days. I mean, that's not your guest coming to Cape Cod. Right. That's not even the second homeowner. That's us trying to get to work and other appointments and just, you know, the normal day-to-day life of a Cape Codder in the winter. So some things have changed in the years. And I think one of the things that has changed, and I was in that traffic this morning getting here, my circuitous route, Cape Cod's affordable housing is now off Cape. And a lot of people are living off Cape and commuting onto the Cape to work. And I think that we're seeing some of those dynamics, and we're quantifying some of that through what our employers are calling and telling us.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to log some of this now, so it's just kept as a record. But it's April, and it was, the folks at Ocean Edge took them 2.5 hours to get from Ocean Edge to the bridge and then to start the ride home.
Yeah. I was at one of the school superintendent meetings, and they were saying the same thing with some of their teachers who were coming from off Cape, and it was taking them 2 hours to get to work. All right, Steve, so what is the data telling us? What are we seeing as far as increases?
So certainly taking a step back, 70s, 80s, 90s, explosive growth throughout the region. Since 2000, it's really been a bit of a different trend. The summers and certainly a still strong season, but those off season are really where we're seeing the growth in traffic. People are complaining about the traffic back in the early 80s. The traffic that we see during the winter to now is like a summer 1980. So really, we're seeing traffic throughout the year, and really a challenge and a drag on the economy throughout the year, given that real bottleneck, particularly at the canal area.
Yeah. How does that impact the visitors who are coming to for beaches, the ones who aren't living here? You hear, you're going to have to wait at the bridges. I would think that would maybe turn some people off.
Well, it great question, but quite honestly, all of the fixes that we're talking about here, especially through the Fix Coalition, you're still going to have your peak season delays. There's, without filling in the canal and just putting a bunch of roads on, there's really no silver bullet that's going to eliminate bottlenecks on Cape Cod. But what we have found, quite honestly, Mindy, is people say, I heard Cape Cod had bad traffic. You guys don't know what traffic is. You should come to New York. You should try to go to Boston every day. So comparatively, we benefit from that. You know, our customers come from really busy places. But when you're trying to live here and you're trying to get goods and services across the bridges and you're trying to plan a daily routine, and then it gets blown up totally because of this archaic infrastructure that we have, people have had patience, but what's happened is now the chronic maintenance cycle is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
The congressman said 5 years we're going to do another round, and I'm thinking, I bet you it's quicker than that.
It's not be heavy. And that's a concern too, because these bridges are old, as we've
very
said,
old.
And if they have issues, and we've always had concerns about will there be a point where they say, okay, anything over this weight cannot come over the bridge anymore? And think about all the goods that we get on those big trucks, and if they weren't able to come over the bridges, that would be devastating.
Well, I do try to make the point when I'm doing public presentations, and I'll ask people about the bridges and would there be a tolerance for a toll, would you pay a toll, that kind of thing. But I say, as long as we can get the beer and wine trucks over, everything will be fine. But it kind of makes the point, people don't think about those big trucks that we need daily to bring us our food and our stuff.
Yeah. And some of the traffic that they're waiting in now, they're passing on a surcharge, right, to some of the businesses?
Most of my employers have reported immediate surcharges just for traffic congestion, time spent on the bridge waiting to get across. Yeah.
866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to join our conversation this morning. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about challenges and possible solutions to Cape Cod Canal area traffic, including the bridges. With us is Stephen Tupper, Transportation Program Manager at the Cape Cod Commission, and Wendy Northcross, CEO of the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce. We invited both MassDOT and the Army Corps to join us today, but they declined because their multi-year studies of transportation issues in the canal region hasn't concluded yet. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Let's talk to Carl, who's giving us a call from Hyannis. Hi, Carl.
Hello there. I went to a transportation meeting a few years ago talking about the same traffic issue. and I asked the question and got no response. On the Bourne Bridge, on the Cape side, if they could somehow take land, so instead of mushing all the traffic leaving the Cape into that rotary, just a ramp that puts you out and joins you with the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Steve, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, certainly. One thing that the studies right now are looking at, and particularly the Massachusetts Department of Transportation Canal Area Transportation Study, is really looking at the challenges of the infrastructure approaching those bridges. So a lot of the issues on the bridges, apart from the condition issues of the bridges, are really that supporting infrastructure doesn't make it smooth for people to get over the bridges. And I believe you're speaking to is particularly issues around Exit 1C. That would be in the area of Christmas Tree Shop Plaza there. It's very close to getting on the bridge, and it's really creates a lot of turbulence as people are trying to get off the bridge. So there are a host of alternatives looking at trying to fix that issue, and one of them would be relocating Exit 1C further away from the bridges.
Yeah. I think he was talking about the Bourne Bridge.
Bourne Rotary is actually, I guess just step back a little bit. There's been 7 different scenarios mapped out. Like, what if we did this? Would this work? Would this help with that? You know, so 6 of them don't help too much. Mm. The 7th has a marked improvement in flow in the region. And one of those issues is the fact that the Bourne Rotary is inefficient and there's a better way to design that whole transaction of, you know, cars on the Cape side of the Bourne Bridge. So he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And there is an alternative that would be a full interchange replacing that rotary, which really is very inefficient at this point.
All right, Carl, thanks for the phone call. So the studies we're talking about, looking with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, is evaluating the longevity of the bridges and whether mm-hmm. major rehabilitation or replacement of the bridges is justified. So what goes into that evaluation?
So on the Army Corps study specifically, they're looking at whether or not it's feasible to continue to maintain the bridges over the next 50 years. They look at the economic costs of that, what it would cost for them to actually do the construction, but also what are the larger impacts on the region. And I think that's something that the Cape Cod Commission and the Chambers really weighed in on to make sure that they understand what those impacts are to the region. And if they really can't continue to maintain it like this, they would be looking at a replacement alternative.
I'm just thinking of the cost of maintenance. I mean, I know the new bridges would be expensive too, but when you add up all this maintenance that we're doing, I mean, doesn't it make sense?
It does add up, and we've made bridges out of really inefficient material. So one thing that I do know, and talking with Zoppo Construction, who's done the most recent round of work, said there's far better materials now that you can create better passages with, you know, better joints, things that don't have to be painted. So there's we can help ourselves with a new bridge in that regard.
And could we add additional lanes to the bridges? I mean, is there a way to shift lanes to accommodate traffic during peak? You know, like when you go into Boston and you have the commuter lane, they shift those things. Is there a way to do something like that?
Certainly, if there are more space on the bridge. So all bridges require maintenance, but usually don't see the sort of impacts we have here because you typically have shoulders on the side where you can do construction activities. Right now, there on each bridge, there's 4 10-foot lanes. There's no room to do any construction activities. So anything they need to do out there requires lanes. Enclosure. So it's really the current configuration that really makes any maintenance activities impactful.
And what does the crash tell us about, the safety on the bridges?
So certainly safety is a challenge given that with modern vehicles do not fit well in 10-foot lanes, particularly the heavy commercial vehicles that we see coming over those bridges. I know driving over there, you'll often see a large vehicle take 2 lanes. Mm-hmm. That's because they can't fit in 1 lane. So it really is not up to current standards for motorists, and also challenges for non-motorists getting over the bridges. And there's really no alternatives. So when you have construction activity, you really have some significant impacts there. Yeah.
The other thing is the arc of the bridge.
I was thinking the same thing.
You usually wouldn't build that today. Yeah. It's not safe. You can't see what's coming at you from the other side.
Yeah. Linda is calling from Falmouth. Good morning, Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a couple of comments, and I didn't tune in at the beginning, so I'm not sure if they've already been addressed.
Okay.
But I heard when I first turned in the word economy, and I'm on the Upper Cape, and I can't tell you how many times during the summer I see wonderful events and activities taking place on the Lower Cape, particularly on a weekend, and never on a Sunday would I ever consider going anywhere to the Lower Cape. And I'm sure there are many people that just are beginning to have an avoidance mindset because it's too bad because I see these activities planned for a Sunday and I'm like, why have they never been on Route 6 on a Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah, and Linda, you know, you're making a really good point, because I said that same thing. I would not go across the bridge on a Saturday afternoon, because you know all the Saturday people coming for their vacation, you're going to get stuck in that traffic, and the same thing Sunday leaving. What was your other comment, Linda?
My daughter lives in Sandwich, and they're literally landlocked.
Yes.
On a Sunday.
It's a
we
crime.
Can't go over there for a cookout. They can't leave. Mm-hmm. 130, Route 6, Route 6A, it's all, they are completely landlocked for a Sunday.
Yeah.
And my other comment is, and you probably addressed this, the steamship. We've talked about freight forever coming from New Bedford. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, do you? Oh, Steve's nodding. Okay.
So I'm glad you bring up the steamship and freight. You certainly see the most impactful issues in the communities of Bourne and Sandwich, but it's a Cape Cod problem, and it's a Cape and Islands problem. So many of the goods flowing over to the island go over those bridges currently, and that's a real challenge on the infrastructure. So certainly, as part of a holistic look at the transportation network, if there's more efficient ways, possibly from New Bedford to get freight to the islands, that's all part of the solution.
Yeah. Would the cost... Is there a difference in the cost of doing it via the steamship versus coming over the bridge with a truck and then getting on the boat here and going to the vineyard?
Absolutely. And that's something that the steamship has been looking at a number of occasions. It is a longer trip boat-wise. You need to upgrade some infrastructure in New Bedford. But it's something that I know is under consideration as we see some of these big challenges for the region.
Yeah, Linda, thanks for the call. Peter is calling from Yarmouth. Hi, Peter.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wondered if there was any merit to this idea as far as helping to finance the new bridge someday, and that would be devoting a portion of the federal and state gasoline taxes that are collected on Barnstable County and Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket to a fund to help finance a new bridge over a long period of time, because that would be a definite user fee, but not increasing those taxes, but just using a portion of them to help fund a new bridge, which obviously will be needed someday.
Yeah,
it's a great idea. I'm part of the problem with that. I just bought this hybrid that I maybe put gas in once a month. So technically, in our state, we've pulled back on the gas tax, and our gas tax revenue is not keeping up with this current state needs. So perhaps some restoration of a gas tax, but there's all kinds of mitigation tactics now in the transportation world of congestion fees, try to keep people out of downtown London, for example. If you get a taxi, you pay through the nose if you got to be in the center of the city. But those gas tax fees are not the windfall they once were.
Mm. Yeah, certainly those gas tax fees do funnel down to our region now, but they can't keep up with some of the day-to-day issues that we see. We get about $20 million to fix some of the infrastructure challenges. The numbers we'd be talking about at the bridges are much larger, so certainly it'll be a part of the solution, but we're going to need to think more creatively to really fix the solution in the long term.
What would a new bridge cost?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're still crunching some numbers. probably around $250 to $350 million a bridge. Mm-hmm. But don't forget, we're not talking just a bridge or bridges anymore. We're talking a whole suite of solutions on both sides of the canal, with intersection modernization, roadway enhancements, safety enhancements. So you have to do the whole package to realize improvement.
And if you're talking about that whole package, we'd be getting up to the $1 billion number. Yeah. Would not be crazy. So we're talking about a big issue for the region. Yeah.
Peter, thanks for the call. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right. So going back to these studies for a second, they're we also talked about the Mass DOT. What are they looking? What's their study? What are they looking at?
So their study is a little more comprehensive in that it looks at the whole region and looks at multimodal solutions. So certainly they're focused on the things you think about traditionally approaching the bridges, but they also are looking at bike connections, pedestrian connections. They're going to identify some small short-term projects that hopefully the region can move forward in a quick fashion, and also those long-term projects. They're taking a really deep dive, looking at it as a real network. So I appreciate the time they're taking to put into it, and hopefully we'll be able to take out a lot of projects out of this very comprehensive study.
Yeah. It's, we mentioned bike, and that's a big effort as we're trying to connect all the bike trails so that you could literally bike from one end of the Cape to the other. And also, Tom Kerr's done a great job at the Transportation Center of kind of coordinating.
Bike racks,
yeah, and then the buses that there to be able to get on the ferries or the planes and kind of coordinating that, making that a smoother transition so that hopefully people don't have to bring their cars when they come to visit.
Well, and I think that rail also plays a part of this whole thing. And we met with Secretary Pollock last week. She's the head of transportation for the Baker administration, and I think they have shown incredible leadership and innovation in all of this, and they are stepping up to the plate to say, yes, those are Army Corps bridges, but we own the problem. You know, we own the need to come up with solutions, and they have a really great multimodal mentality there, and they're looking at all kinds of solutions. But we asked, we need your commitment for commuter rail to Buzzards Bay. We need that. And we need your commitment for transit parking with perhaps a Mass Maritime Academy partnership. And, you know, let's just, you know, we put our like 8 points of need on the table in a memo with her, and she was great. But the whole process starts with the plan. I mean, the last time we went through this really painful lane drop scenarios, you know, our organization was saying, okay, we get it. The bridges are getting old. What's the plan for future bridges? Well, there was no plan. But, you know, enough pounding on the table and saying, no, this is unacceptable.
Yeah, we now have a plan.
We now have an emerging, we have a very robust planning process that we are in the midst of. MassDOT took the lead. Army Corps is part of that now, and we're working hard to make sure they all stay coordinated. And we were told by the Secretary last Friday that they will release their information in tandem with Army Corps. That's going to be a highly coordinated effort. Oh.
So we mentioned the Bourne Rotary. What are the other major trouble areas?
So really,
Belmont Circle, it's not really a circle.
Yeah, certainly named after August Belmont, of the original digging of the canal. And unfortunately, that may be his trademark now, is that challenging Belmont Circle. So that makes some turbulence trying to make the connection into Buzzards Bay, certainly is a barrier to accessing that great area of our region and really getting people over the bridge, connecting to Scenic Highway. So that's a major issue on that side. Mm-hmm. On the other side, certainly Bourne Rotary is a big challenge.
Mm-hmm. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We sort of touched on when we had the congressman on about the possibility of the state or MassDOT assuming responsibility for the bridges. What would be the advantages or disadvantages to that?
That's a great question. Go ahead, Steve. I mean, I know the prior administration, the Baker administration, has not necessarily said, sure, we'll take on the ownership of the bridges. The Baker administration clearly, I mean, the Deval-Patrick administration clearly did not want to do that. They did not want to let Army Corps get off the hook of their responsibility. They are responsible for creating a passage over that waterway. So, but now in talking with Senator Markey's office yesterday and Secretary Pollock's office, there could be some kind of a joint effort here. I don't think they're going to take those bridges in their current condition. I can see where new bridges, modern bridges, with perhaps a budget for maintenance, you could see the state taking a, you know, ownership. I wouldn't say ownership interest, but they would be at the table for sure.
So certainly the funding is the biggest challenge there. But what transition to operation by MassDOT may do is add some flexibility. Right now, the Army Corps is very prescribed in what they are allowed to do. They are required to maintain four lanes on each bridges, no tolls, and it's very prescribed what they do in terms of changes to the bridges. So you may get some additional flexibility with different players involved.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about this before, but as the congressman was saying, their mandate really is more maritime issues. So they're not really bridge engineers.
The Army Corps has one structural engineer in its entire force because they don't own structures. And, well, they have 12 bridges in the entire nation. So they own waterways. They manage waterways. So their assets and their expertise lies there. So Secretary Pollock's office is asking for Army Corps to share data with them and give them to her structural engineers. Let them do an assessment. There has been no independent assessment of these bridges that we know of ever.
Wow. All right. Robert is calling from Truro. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to the conversation. I am a member of the Metropolitan Planning organization. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
I represent Region D, which is the Lower Cape towns of Eastham, Wellfleet, Truro, and Provincetown. And I find that the bridges point to what I consider an intractable problem. I'm not smart enough to have the answers, but I'd like your guests to address this. You know, I'm 68 years old. When I was a teenager in high school, this country had a population of about 164 million. Now we're up to 330 million. And we always hear that these dramatic infrastructure changes will make things better. Case in point, the recent tunnels in Boston. And if you've driven in rush hour traffic in Boston, it's only made things worse, in my opinion, not better. I'm not advocating for not repairing the bridges, but I think your guests have to think in broad terms. The infrastructure in Barnstable County was never designed to accommodate the vehicular traffic, let alone bicycle and pedestrian mm-hmm. traffic that it now experiences. And to modernize the bridges, one must have a plan that addresses the entire Cape. On the MPO, I've seen projected plans about improving access to the bridges in, you know, on both sides of the canal. But my question for your guests is, what happens to the Lower Cape where Route 6 is a two-lane highway, mm-hmm. Surrounded in places by federal lands, the Cape Cod National Seashore is what I'm speaking of, and I'm not sure geographically there is a solution.
Yeah.
We have in July and August now beyond Eastham gridlock on many
yep.
portions of Route 6, and to make access to the Cape easier, you're going to exacerbate the problems of infrastructure inadequacies throughout the whole county.
Right.
I think of this
Let's take that question, Robert. All right, Wendy, go ahead and answer the question.
So all good points, which is why we are extremely supportive of the emerging plan now, which essentially does not build new roadways. This will improve how intersections are designed, and it will replace two bridges, and it will those bridges will match the roads that lead to and from the bridges. So in other words, we have a 12-foot wide travel lane that squeezes down into a 10-foot narrow bridge lane that goes back to a 12-foot lane. The bridges have their own interesting problem, and I liken it to your body. You've got so much blood vessels and the blood's all running around, but you get the one little clot in the heart, and guess what it does? It kills the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of the scenario that we're dealing with now. We've got a blockage in a major artery that just needs to be opened a little bit to modern standards and let everything else continue to flow. The traffic engineers are so cool. They have such amazing data sets and computer scenarios that they can run, and they can tweak. If we do this to this intersection and we add that 2 feet to that lane, what will the impact be? And they can assess induced traffic. They can say, well, then people will like, oh, the Cape has no traffic anymore. Let's go. They factor that in.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been looking at that data very closely over how long has this planning process been going on now? For at least a year. And we're looking at that data closely. And those seven scenarios I mentioned, six of them were like, if we tweaked this and we did that, it's not going to do much. But if we do this, and this, and it's not adding new road, that's why the third bridge got kicked out early on. Third bridge was going to create massive expense,
yeah.
massive new roadways to where? You know, McMillan Wharf? I mean, so points well taken. But that's why I feel comfortable as a Cape Codder who loves this place, who knows what we trade on here, I feel comfortable that the emerging plan factors that in and creates the flow without massive new roadways.
Certainly. I think we're beyond a time where we're talking about adding significant capacity to any of our roadways. We love the region because of what it is, and we don't want to change it with these improvements. I think what these improvements are really focusing on is making a reliable system. We want folks going to any portion of the Cape to be able to have a reliable trip heading down Route 6 and heading to important destinations, whether it be hospitals in Boston or other appointments. It's not about getting more people in the region. It's about making sure that people can do the day-to-day things they need to do. Right.
And since Robert was talking about other areas, there, you've got a couple of projects that you're working on that you would – there's a public comment sessions on. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about those real quick.
Sure. Certainly touching back on the Cape Cod Metropolitan Planning Organization, that's an opportunity for the public to weigh in on these projects and making sure they do fit within the vision. So there is a plan out there currently, the Transportation Improvement Program, out for public comment that lists the projects anticipated in the next 5 years. Certainly looking for opportunities for public comment. If you go to capecodcommission.org, right on the homepage, you'll see plenty of ways to get involved. But there's a sampling of projects across the region. You'll see some projects from down on the Outer Cape. There's a project on Shank Pater Road in Provincetown, moving down a little bit, Route 6 and Main Street in Wellfleet, certainly a safety issue that we've seen. We have a number of projects on Route 28 in Chatham, in Orleans. We've got projects in Bourne. It really spans the region, mm-hmm. So this is really trying to look at the region comprehensively in total, including the transit, which is a huge component of this plan, $167 million over the next 5 years. So really looking comprehensively at solutions.
866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You are listening to The Point, and we are talking about challenges and possible solutions to Cape Cod Canal area traffic, including the bridges, with Stephen Tupper, Transportation Program Manager at the Cape Cod Commission, and Wendy Northcross, CEO of the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce. And joining us on the phone is Tom Guarino. He's the Bourne Town Administrator. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, all. How's everyone?
Great. Tom, the town of Bourne has a unique perspective on this issue because Bourne is bisected by the canal. So give us a sense of how traffic delays and backups impact the town and its residents.
Sure. First, though, I'd like to just mention the work that Wendy and the FIX group has been doing has been really, really fantastic with working with the state leaders on this, and they're to be commended, as well as the leadership of Congressman Keating on this. In Bourne, you know, it's almost a daily event now. It's not just summertime that we're getting back up. Certainly the bridge construction projects really hinder the ability of our neighborhoods to move well, our Main Street to move well. We have certain, on the Bourne Bridge specifically, you notice backups in the morning, even when there's not construction, going both ways on the bridge from the rotary. And then every afternoon coming up from Falmouth on 28, it's backing up. We have a lot of employment opportunities and new companies here on 28 and in Bourne. It certainly hinders our school traffic. Actually, on Memorial Day, they call a day off so the children do not have to try to traverse the bridges on the school buses. So there's a lot of problems here. The Waze and all of those new software, you know, apps that you have, they're directing traffic into our neighborhoods, and it's causing serious safety concerns for our neighborhoods as well as our public safety concerns. We have to now figure out how to staff better on the south side of the bridge in both Sagamore and in Pocasset-Catomet area. We have to add crews. If there's an emergency and we don't have med flight available, it certainly is a hindrance in providing emergency care to folks if they have to go to Rhode Island for trauma or to Boston. It's very difficult, almost on a daily basis now.
Yeah, and I'll say that with Linda, when she was saying her daughter lives in, and this is in Sandwich, too, people not being able to get out of their driveways because people are taking these little shortcuts. And so what are your chief concerns as we start to develop strategies addressing traffic flow?
Well, I think that the Cape Region traffic study that's being done is probably the most comprehensive look of things that we've had. And there's been, you know, there's talk about the closing of Exit 1. We heard that earlier today. And there's some merit to that at certain times of year. But when I hear the Cape Area Traffic Study folks say that the average saving time in the peak seasons for people coming from the Lower Cape on 6 is going to be 3 to 4 minutes, it gives the town of Bourne pause to consider some of that movement if we're going to disrupt two of our neighborhoods as well as the folks in Sandwich for a 3 or 4 minute save on a 2-hour commute. It we need to think a little bit better about that. I do want to hit the piece on the commuter rail. As I think folks know, born in the worst winter of MBTA history, voted to join. And I think Secretary Pollack and Tom Kerr and some of the others are really looking toward the commuter rail piece. I think that will be really helpful in trying to get people to and from. I think rail has got to be a real big component of whatever we do.
Yeah, and they're both nodding their heads here, Tom, as we're saying that. You know, I remember a while back, and I don't know, Wendy, if you know the answer to this question, but they had that sort of trial bus run, you know, with the you know, through Bourne. It wasn't a regular route. They tried it for a little while, and I don't know what happened to that. Do you, Steve, know if that's a regular thing that they added to the service, having bus service through Bourne?
Yeah, so the Bourne run is a permanent service with the Cape Cod Regional Transit Authority. There's also a sandwich line. So now access to that area is much improved through the great efforts of the CCRTA in recent years, and certainly in the long term, we would envision commuter rail being part of that discussion.
All right, Deborah's giving us a call from Falmouth. Good morning, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I think you just covered my concern, and I pick up a lot of people at Bourne, Capeside, Tedeschi area, and I don't really understand why the train that runs from Boston and only stops in Hyannis can't have a parking stopping area on Capeside of the bridge, not the Maritime Academy, which still means you have to get across the bridge.
Right. Anybody?
Maybe somebody could buy some land and put a parking lot.
It makes all kinds of sense.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I think those things are being looked at. I think Tom Kerr in the Agency of Transportation up in Boston are looking at those types of things. There needs to be some work done on the south side. We have some neighborhood concern there about trains being idling in our neighborhoods as well for a lot of period of time, because wherever you park on the south side of the bridge, if it were to be on in Bourne, there's a lot of neighborhoods there. So those things have to be looked at, and I know the secretary is looking at those things. One of the positive aspects of looking at this commuter rail piece, and I know Wendy and Steve know this, is with the Cape Flyer running now during the summer, none of the infrastructure for the track, at least coming into Buzzards Bay and over to the bridge, need to be upgraded. It's already been done. So there's not a big capital cost in bringing this down. And the South Coast line that they're looking at, I think, is going to be able to look at the spur to Buzzards Bay and perhaps south of the bridge to provide a lot of relief.
Well, we've been talking about the Cape Flyer can actually transport people to, you know, on our third bridge. We do have a third bridge, a railroad bridge
yeah.
over
right.
to the Mass Maritime Academy area, perhaps, you know, that there's a rail-to-rail connection. Not perfect, but yep. certainly an option we don't have now.
Right, exactly. All right, Deborah, thanks for the phone call.
You know, Mindy, one of the things I think and Steve brought it up earlier, it's the connectors to the bridges that are problematic as well. We need to find a way to take some traffic off of the Bourne Rotary and perhaps a spur down or a bypass that they're looking at onto Sandwich Road is one thing. But safety considerations on Scenic Highway, which I know are looking to be done, I think in 23, we're looking at that under the MPO. But Scenic Highway is a very dangerous road, and the accident data will show that. That, if we can get traffic moving better on that with some on-ramps that are being considered by the regional transit study, then, you know, some of the bottlenecks, at least on those two roads, can be eased up, and the safety concerns can be mitigated.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a heavy heavy movement of folks heading from the Boston area, trying to get down to Falmouth. So then you're moving along the canal on either Scenic Highway or Sandwich Road. And in the other direction, you have folks coming from 495, 25, looking to get up on Route 6. So making those connections between the bridge and making them safe, bridges and making them safe, is really an important part of the plan. And hopefully we can get some short-term projects to increase safety, particularly on Scenic Highway, where we've seen some pretty horrific head-on crashes. Something really is a focus for us.
Yeah. Tom Green was Bourne Town Administrator. Tom, thanks for taking time to be with us this morning. Stephen in Chatham writes us an email. He says, although most Cape Codders have heard talk of a third bridge, they don't know about the public planning process for considering options that's going on right now. This is especially true of people outside of the canal area on the lower and outer Cape who should know how to comment on the draft study that will be coming out soon. So is there an opportunity for residents to weigh in on this issue with the Army Corps or MassDOT?
Absolutely. And the process is probably a bit delayed from their original calendar. But as the Secretary of Transportation told us on Friday, she wants to coordinate their release of information with the Army Corps' release. So we may not see this until late summer, early fall, from what I heard on Friday.
And certainly the release of that information would come along with a public meeting.
Definitely. Public meetings.
So it'll be advertised through the chamber, I'm sure, on the local radio station, right. And certainly on Cape Cod Commission's homepage, we'd be pushing that information out. Because it really is important that these decision makers understand the importance of these projects to the region. So we certainly want to make sure people come out for that.
It seems like there's a more of a coordinated effort, and you've been talking about this, Wendy, of everybody kind of being on the same page, mm-hmm. and having this communication. So mm-hmm. is there a sense that the Army Corps and MassDOT are listening to the concerns?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Probably the most responsive we've ever seen it. And to their great credit, you know, working together quite nicely. Probably not at the speed of business that I'm used to, but it is forward movement. I do want people to know that there is a coalition that's been formed. We do have on change.org, we have a petition, but it's an informative petition that people can sign on to. There's a link there to the Canal Area Transportation Study planning that they can see some of these scenarios that have been run. We particularly like the last one, which is called 3A, not to be confused with the highway. Mm-hmm. And they can look at that and they can weigh into it. And we'll keep people informed through social media, through this petition site. They can certainly call the Chamber or the Cape Cod Commission. We'd let them know. Go to the Commission's website. I'm sure it'll list all these on there.
I think you said something interesting early on in the program that I hadn't really thought of was, you know, we think of all of this traffic as being visitors. But as you're saying, with what we're seeing now in the
winter, it's us.
We
have met the enemy.
That kind of makes you think, too, adding to the summer traffic and, you know, all of these ideas that we've had for getting people to bring fewer cars. You know, you have, you know, mom comes down, maybe one of the kids, then dad, and then the teenager comes, and there's like three cars.
Well, that's don't forget, 58,000 single-family homes on Cape Cod that are not primary residences. So if it's not the second homeowner living in there, then they're renting out on Airbnb or whatever. And so those folks tend to come in multiple cars. You know, that's part of the dynamic.
Right. And I guess this whole effort to kind of get people not to bring cars to the islands as well and coordinating those. And I will say, Martha's Vineyard, you can get anywhere on that island with public transportation. It's amazing.
The RTAs are doing a great job. The problem is when you have a car, you don't know how good the RTAs are because you're not on the Regional Transit Authority bus.
Yeah.
You need to try it.
And it's a tough thing to get people, you know, if you're going to the beach and the kids, you get all the stuff.
That's the biggest.
Yeah.
I've had moms call me and say, are you out of your mind? You want me to get my kids in a car with all this stuff?
Yeah. And if you can park, you're going to drive. Right. I think it was
if the parking lots are still there,
right, exactly. So that's why I think Provincetown and Woods Hole are a little unique. We don't have the parking, so you're likely to take the trolley down here in the summer rather than bring the car.
Bike.
And absolutely, the trolley can be an experience itself. So
it's fun
to change people's thinking on that.
Yeah.
All right. Steve Tupper, Transportation Program Manager at the Cape Cod Commission, and Wendy Northcross, CEO of the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce. Thanks so much. We'll have more to come on this for sure. We'll have links with more information about the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers study of the bridges and the MassDOT Cape Cod Canal Area Transportation Studies at our website, capeandislands.org. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.